Okay, my guest Pat Murphy has joined me in the studio. Good afternoon, Pat. It's just early afternoon now.
Good afternoon, Pat. Just about made it.
Yeah, no, you're okay. Yeah, you're very welcome to the station and to the studios here at Near FM. Now, we're going to talk about the Asgard and your series of talks that you're giving. And you're giving them throughout the month of March. And the one has already started, the second, isn't that right?
I've actually given out, right from January, I've been giving talks throughout the country.
Right.
I've been as far away as Tralee and Clonmel and Nina. Yeah. So I've been all around the country.
Okay. Well, you're concentrating on Dublin for the month of March, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, well, do tell.
Right. I did one last night in the library in Raheny. Mm-hmm. And next Wednesday night, we have a very big one in the Marine Hotel down in Sutton. And that is for the 1916 Commemorative Committee of Howth Sutton and Baldoyle. I'm very involved with the committee there, and I'm doing it for them. We're hoping to have a big attendance. And what I do is I bring the audience right through from Asgard was launched in 1905, right up to our Conservation Day in Collins Barracks, which is a lovely exhibit. If people haven't been up to see it, it's well worth a visit going up to Collins Barracks to see that lovely. It's conserved now; it's not restored.
Right.
And
what's the difference, Pat?
Well, restored would be able to put it back in the water.
So
it's conserved now to be for time.
Immemorial,
exactly on it. And it's one side of the boat is painted white, as was originally. And the other side is left a clear varnish. So you can see the actual work that went into the conservation of it. And you remember we had an animal here called the tiger? Was he? What was his name? Celtic, was it?
Ah, definitely, yeah.
When he was healthy and all, there was no problems with money, and then he got sick, and the museum had no money to do any of the rigging above deck on it.
Right.
So six of us as volunteers spent the whole winter of 2011 and 2012 in a warehouse in Arbor Hill, and we did all the rigging for it, brought it all down and assembled it up. So the whole lot. Yeah. But going back to the talk itself, I take people from when she was launched in Norway in 1905 for Erskine and Molly Childers. It was a wedding present that they got from her parents in Boston. And then I go right through the gun running, the planning for the gun running with the Irish Volunteers being founded in November 1913. And then the boys were just training with hurleys and sticks. They had no guns or anything else on it. And then there was a committee formed and they raised £1,500 to purchase some guns from Germany, which was achieved. And I explained the whole journey, bringing Asgard back and the problems they had avoiding the British Navy, the weather and everything else. And so I go into it in fairly good detail.
Yeah, I see. Can I just ask you, the yacht obviously isn't seaworthy at the moment.
No. Which is great. Some years ago, there were two teams. One team wanted to put it back in the water and the other team wanted to conserve it. Now, if it had gone back in the water, Pat, it would not have even looked like the original boat at all from a health and safety point of view, but now it's a lovely exhibit up in Collins Barracks.
And is that where it's going to be in situ?
Oh, it's permanently in situ in its own exhibition hall, and it's humidity controlled.
Right.
But my talk now really goes into detail with the actual collecting the guns off the German tug, the journey back, the landing in Howth, and the people involved on it.
Yeah.
It's quite an intensive talk.
Yeah, I looked at your piece on Irish
TV.
The clip you included with the email you sent. Yeah, very interesting. And the Irish TV, a lot of their material is shown outside of the country, isn't it? American stuff.
It's
like
shown
that?
All over the world on it.
Yeah.
It's on Sky, if you have Sky, it's 191. And I was doing a talk down in Tralee, which is pretty close to where Roger Caseman was caught, having landed there on Bannerstrand.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were down there and they asked to do an interview, and they did that interview, 7-minute interview, which went quite well.
Great
and
stuff.
It was well received. But yeah, Irish TV, they do county matters all over the country, and American, England, and everywhere else on it.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like an interesting TV station to...
it is.
If you can get involved in with your material, like there's a huge audience out there. Compared
indeed.
To the little terrestrial station we have here called RTE. But anyway, on with the tour, the speaking tour, you've got Dunleary on the 15th, isn't that right?
That's in the National Maritime Museum on the 15th in Dunleary.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, the one next Wednesday night, there's no fee in, it's free in.
Right.
So it's going to be a good talk. It lasts about an hour and a half altogether on it, and there's no admission.
Right, and you have to you pay your own expenses to go and do all that, do you, Pat?
Yeah. Well, lucky enough, I've had the free pass.
Right.
So I've been travelling on trains quite a bit on
it. Not that old. I'll be giving away your age, man.
And people, they put me up and things like that on it, you know. Okay. But no, I enjoy it.
Well, it seems to be a passion of yours.
It is. As somebody said, it's not just a talk, it's a love story.
Yeah.
And but the six volunteers that did all the work on it, they have to be thanked by the nation for all the work they did on it.
Absolutely.
And especially the chapter in charge of the conservation, John Kieran.
Yeah.
No, I when doing a talk in Dunleary there last week in the Royal Marine Hotel, and at the end of it, one little lady, a very elderly lady, put her hand up and she says, "I know nothing about boats or sailing, but I really enjoyed your talk." I tried to make it interesting. I don't get into too much technical things on it.
Yeah, well, you can't get better than that. Some woman saying to you that she knows nothing about boats, but she enjoyed what you were saying to her. Okay, so Tuesday the 15th in Dunleary, then you're in Fines in Limerick on Friday the 18th.
That's
so
right.
And that's the Fines Flying Boat and Maritime Museum. Yeah,
and Fines, that's where the Kelpie with Conor O'Brien left from in 1914. The two boats involved in the gun running was the Asgard and the Kelpie. And the Kelpie left from Foynes on the 1st of July and rendezvoused with the Asgard down in Cowes, and they went down and collected the guns off the German tug.
You don't hear much about the Kelpie.
No, you don't hear a lot about it. Well, she didn't actually land in Ireland. She actually waited off the coast of Wales, and her load guns were taken off by a boat called the Chota from Dublin.
Right.
They went across and offloaded the guns from the Kelpie. And then when they came over to Kilcool, they landed in Kilcool, there was another boat from Holt called the Nugget, went down to help to offload it as well. On it. So the Kelpie never actually came to Ireland with the guns.
Right, and do we know offhand what happened to the Kelpie afterwards?
I mean, yes,
you know where the Asgard is. Where's the Kelpie?
The Kelpie was Conor O'Brien. I mean, Conor O'Brien was also the first Irishman to sail around the world single-handed in the 1920s on a boat called Saoirse. But he was sailing Kelpie up in Scotland area, and he rumour has it he went to sleep and it ran aground, ran ashore and at Galloway, and it was wrecked.
And there was no salvage in it.
No, it's gone. No. Kelpie is gone on it, you know.
Okay,
so, but we're lucky to have the Asgard.
Yes,
here
I agree. Okay, well, I said you're in Foynes on the Friday the 18th. You're back in Holt on Wednesdays the 16th, 23rd, and 30th in Finlater's House Restaurant. And I noticed that the Finlater House Restaurant talk will be combined with a 1914-1916 commemorative dinner.
That's right, yes.
But you have to book it.
So you have to book that, yes.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. And you're finishing, well, you're not finishing, but you're in Dublin also on the Sunday the 27th in the Viking Theatre.
In Clontarf.
In Clontarf.
That's right, yeah.
You're some busy man, Pat.
I know, and I'm actually I've had some more bookings since then. I'm doing it, I do schools as well, I talk in schools.
Right.
And the museum have been very good to me. They give me souvenir Asgard rulers for all the pupils. Mm-hmm. I'm talking in St. Vincent's High School in Sutton now on the 10th of March, and there'll be about 65 students there. So I do some of the schools around the area as well on it.
Yeah.
So it, all in all, now I say it's free in next Wednesday night. Everybody's welcome on it. And if anybody ever wants to contact me, my mobile address is 087... 253-1341.
Yep.
Or my email is probably easier. It's Pat and Olivia, A-N-D, Pat and Olivia at hotmail.com.
Okay, lovely. So, how long have you been doing this sort of thing, Pat?
Well, I've been doing talks a lot. Because my wife, who died last August, unfortunately, after a very short illness with cancer on it, we spent 9 years sailing around the world.
Right.
And we did a lot of talks around the country to various groups.
Yeah.
And we did, so I'm pretty used to giving talks on it, and I enjoy it. And I'm not.
Yeah.
I like meeting people. I like communicating with people.
Do you go to sea at all? Do you still go to sea?
Well, the boat was only out once last year because Olivia was sick all last year. And unfortunately, that hit me very, very hard. I'm still getting hard to get over that on it. But the talks now at the moment and my involvement here is certainly keeping my mind of that.
Yeah.
Because weekends are very lonely, as anybody that's lost a loved one would realise it.
Sure.
But no, the talks are keeping me occupied and busy on it. And I just love meeting people. There's not a talk that I have never really given two talks exactly the same, because there's always somebody comes up with a little bit of information that I include in it.
Yeah.
And I mean,
keeping
even
it fresh all the time. Yeah.
Keeping it fresh all the time on it. Yeah. And I add a bit of music into it as well, so it's a bit of a good variety on it.
Right.
But
okay. And so you're continuing with them anyway, and you're planning for more talks in the future after this month is finished. And
no, this I have at the moment. I have about 7 bookings for April as well.
Right.
And I actually have bookings right going into September. So it's
keeping it going.
It's keeping it going. Well, it is an important year for us.
Yes, it is.
And the landing of the guns in Howth is considered by nearly everybody to have been the first step on the rising, because they were the first load of guns that came in preparation for the rising.
Yeah.
And if they hadn't come in, we might not have had a rising.
Yeah.
So it's very important that people realise that it's definitely the first step on the rising.
Yeah,
the roads are rising.
Are some, dare I say it, there are some people who say maybe it would have been better if the guns hadn't landed, and things might have taken a different turn with regard to the freedom of our country. It might have gone in a different direction.
We don't know. We will never know Pat.
Of course.
So we have what we have, partial independence on it, and we just have to accept it as it is at the moment.
And put up with it.
And put up with it, yeah. And life is so short.
Yeah, there's no point in... No point in moaning about it.
No point in moaning, Pat. You've just got to live. And people say to me, oh, isn't the weather terrible? You know, at times. And I say to them, you're so lucky to be alive just to experience the bad weather.
Yeah.
You know, there's an awful lot of people are gone now would love to feel the rain on their head and everything
Absolutely.
Else on it. You know, so that's my attitude in life now.
I'm sure you experienced severe weather conditions when you were out to travel.
We had some rough times on it. And like going from the Galapagos Islands to French Polynesia, that's the Pacific Ocean, that's 3,000 miles. That took us 23 days at sea, just the two of us in a boat.
Right. What size was the boat?
She's 41 feet.
Okay. And it was just two of you
just
on board.
The two of us, yeah.
Were the quarters comfortable, Patton?
Oh, yeah. But when you're at sea like that, you don't sleep in the main cabin, you sleep in the centre of the boat.
Right.
Because there's less movement.
Oh, right.
There's less movement.
Okay.
You see, if you go to the ends on it, you've got a lot of movement. But if you stick in the centre, you have less movement. Night time, we did 3 hours on watch and 3 hours off watch all the time, right through. You have to keep an eye out.
Yeah.
But we had a great time. But I'm lucky now that we actually did it and blew our money instead of having a bit of money in the bank and saying we should have now that Olivia's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so,
You've got those great memories to look
great,
back on.
Great memories on it.
Yeah, just a slight, very tenuous connection with the sea myself, now that I have you here. My brother's brother-in-law, his name is Endo Quinine from Galway, and he rowed single-handedly from America to Ireland.
That's right, and he came into Dunmore East, and I was on talking to him. Immediately he came in to congratulate him, because I know Endo extremely well.
Do you?
Yeah, and he was very instrumental in organising the NCB, the
That's
Irish
right.
boat to sail around the world.
That's right. Yeah,
and so, I mean, I'm still in contact, and he's also at the moment very involved with the Atlantic Youth Trust, trying to get a new sailing boat to replace the Asgard 2, which sank in the Bay of Biscay, and the Lord Rank from the north of Ireland.
Yeah.
So I know Andy extremely well from right way back.
Yeah, and his sister and my sister-in-law died tragically last July the 9th.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But there's my connection with the sea. That's,
all. Yeah,
I've never had any real grow to go out in a boat, like, other than a car ferry to London to Holyhead, because the thoughts of it kind of sends the shivers down my back when I think being out there in a
Pat,
little boat.
When during the summertime, if you want to come out and see around Lamb Bay, where Asgard sheltered and everywhere else on it, give me a shout and I'll take you out some nice day.
That's a great offer, and I may take you up with Pat. Listen, thanks very much for talking to me today. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Thanks very much, Pat.
Yeah, that's Pat Morphy, the boating historian, talking to me about the Asgard and other matters besides. And it was delightful. I'm really glad he came in to talk to me.